The June bugs. "Hey, boy, come here, quick." So he dropped his rake and ran to the yard by the house, where probably 500 June bugs, like a pile of emeralds and rubies, glistened, crawling over each other, under each other, in the grass. "By God, look at them fornicating," he said. And his son said, "Hold on, I got an idea," and ran to the house for the bundle of twine and gunpowder he had tied together into a bomb for such a purpose, and blew an equally glittering hole in the yard, a foot into the earth, and the punch his father landed reverberated in his skull for the rest of his life. And when the assassin fired, it was the last thing he saw, June bugs everywhere, crawling, glistening in the tall summer grass. The Law. Unnoticed for over 600 years, in the sky, the 39th clause of the Magna Carta, in small letter-shaped clouds, floated and faded as they were read aloud. To no one will we sell or deny or delay right or justice. He wondered at it all. In the orchard, in May, he saw a hive of bees spelling the whole of the Declaration in the trees. The fat queen being the dot of the I, where we hold these truths to be self-evident. He learned by reading everything he saw, rivers moving slow in the winter toward a thaw, like gold in the straw, the myriad faces of strangers, waterfalls. Self-taught, he read each document as natural law. The Bucket. Shock at what he was, shock at what he'd done. The man all day was numb after this, the unmitigated disaster at Bull Run. The dead everywhere, his own responsibility. The running away, a necessity for the Union because of his own amateur performance as a commander. He went to the barn to talk to his horse. He took an empty feed bucket and placed it over his head like a bell and sat there with his horse in the darkness of his failure. The next day, his aides brought 50 books from the Library of Congress, and he read each one aloud, from Machiavelli to the Iliad to the journals of Julius Caesar, and stabbed himself discreetly, marking an X on his chest to remember his shame bleeding into his sleeves. Never again would he leave the fighting and the dying exclusively to brave men he thought, "I have murdered such as these." The Photograph. Blasted with light for the portrait that will be engraved on the penny, the lines of his face grow deeper until he blinks and coughs a little and rubs his eyes afterward, saying, "All right then, now it is your turn." So the photographer sets the powder and readies the camera for the amateur who eyes him now through the lens in the dark of the hood. "Now be still, sir, and take your medicine." Not wanting to return yet to the war, more sitters are found for the president, including a chimney sweep walking by, and a girl in a yellow dress with a bow, and then the two of us, reluctant to say no. Tomorrow, 6 horses burn in the stables of the White House, and the sound of their screams and the look in their eyes will stay in his mind for another year or so. In 8 minutes, in Cold Harbor, 26,000 men will be lost. This man is the cause. He looks at us appraisingly, and then the flash goes off. The Palace. Sarah knew how to cipher and added up for her brother his exact age when he asked. 12 years, 3 months, 19 days. She gave him her cakes. She pulled the fang of a corn snake from the side of his foot. She hugged up on him and said she loved him. She could sew a pair of pants for the King of England if she was given the cloth, and he wanted most of all to acquire for her such cloth. She liked to follow, she said, the raw gold of her thoughts. She kept a cricket in her pocket all one summer. When she talked, it was like a palace. Often, he saw his mother waving from the tower and smiling, he thought, when his sister talked.